This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for every single opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us to get closer to Him. And alhamdulillah, these are the gatherings of knowledge that we get together for the sake of Allah, to please Allah, and to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all our sacrifice, to accept from us all the time and effort that we put into this, and to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. We are still talking about Adam alayhi salam. And we spoke about the creation of Adam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from a clay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Adam to life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded all the beings, angels, and those who are with the angels to prostrate to Adam. So they all did except Iblis. Iblis refused to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And then we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Iblis, and part of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jal cursed Iblis, and that's why he is a shaytan al-rajim, the cursed and outcast shaytan. And we said shaytan is from the jinn beings, but the jinn is a race or a being. Amongst them there's the good jinns and there's the bad jinns. And the bad jinns is what we refer to as shayateen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam alayhi salam live in the Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam to eat and drink from anywhere in the Jannah except one tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Adam alayhi salam from eating from that tree. But after a bit of persuasion, a bit of pressure from Hawa, Adam alayhi salam decided to eat from the tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Adam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Hawa, and Allah azza wa jal descended Adam and Hawa to earth. And that was the second phase that we wanted to talk about. That was the second part of the story of Adam alayhi salam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa to descend to earth. After what? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them to be in the Jannah. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given everything in the Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to eat and drink from anywhere in the Jannah. All these trees, whatever you could imagine and think of, you've got, except one. Don't go anywhere. Just one. Subhanallah, all those trees. And he still decided to go and eat from that tree. Adam alayhi salam was steadfast at the very beginning. He refused to eat from that tree. But then Iblis managed to manipulate the wife of Adam, Hawa, and he put pressure on Hawa, so Hawa exercised pressure on Adam, so Adam gave in to Hawa, so both Adam and Hawa went and ate from that tree, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. And we spoke about that story, and we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that I told you, inna hadha lakum aduwwu mubeen, that shaitan is a clear enemy to you. I told you don't listen to the shaitan, I told you not to pay attention to the shaitan, and look what happens when you pay attention to the shaitan. And this is not only to Adam alayhi salam, but this is also a lesson to every single son of Adam to the day of judgment, to every single daughter of Adam to the day of judgment, because we are all the children of Adam alayhi salam, in which never ever listen to the shaitan, as the shaitan is there always to destroy us. The shaitan will never ever give you a good advice. Never ever. It's always contaminated advice. But subhanAllah, we listen to the shaitan. Oh, maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe because of this. Maybe because of that. It's always maybe. Oh, no, it's a shaitan, but maybe. What do you mean, maybe? It's polluted. It's contaminated. How could you even give in to the shaitan when you know it's a shaitan? And imagine to you how many times brothers and sisters come and talk to me, Allah Shaykh, I just committed this and I just did that, and I know it's from the shaitan. Alhamdulillah, at least you know it's from the shaitan. Or did you listen to the shaitan from the very beginning for you to even fall into this action? Shaitan never ever wants good for you. Never. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannata wa kula minha radan. Eat from the Jannah and eat from every single tree of the Jannah. حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا from anywhere in the Jannah. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ But there's one specific tree. Don't go near it. Now so some people are thinking, okay, you know what? What was on that tree? Was it black apples? Was it this and that? Yeah, it could be the best thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't go near it. It could be the most tasteful of trees. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't go near it. Reality, my brothers and my sisters, the haram, sins, it's not like the sins, they've got an evil taste to it. It is an evil action, but it does have a delightful taste at the beginning. When people commit the haram, they are committing the haram because it fulfills their desire. And yes, it does have this tasteful desire to it that people long for, that people fulfill their desire. But at the end, what happens after it? The consequences are evil. When people are committing the haram, when people are fornicating, for example, when people are committing adultery, when people are drinking alcohol, when people are taking drugs, obviously they are doing it because they think, they are perceived that this is going to give them some satisfaction. Maybe at the beginning it does, but later on the consequences of it is always evil. So that tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Adam and his wife not to eat from, it's not necessarily to be a tree that was carrying the heads of shayateen that some people say. It could be a tree that has nice, beautiful fruit. But at the end of the day, Allah said, don't get near it. That's it. It stops over here. And this is to us as the servants of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do this. Just don't do it. Why this and why that? No, you shouldn't be asking why this and why that. So Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa, after they were manipulated by the shaitan al-rajim, they went and ate from that tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them not to eat from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَ مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ They ate from that tree and they slipped, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ They slipped. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words that Allah is using in the Quran al-Kareem, Adam and his wife Hawa, they slipped. You know when someone slips? It's like, you know what? An innocent mistake. An honest mistake. He slipped. It's not that Adam alayhi salam had an evil intent. Because the way that shaitan manipulated Adam and his wife, he said that if you eat from that tree, you'll get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, ikhwani, shaitan, when he wants to take it out of the deen, he uses the deen to take it out of the deen. I'll give you an example. When shaitan sees you praying, and he sees you perfecting your salah and you're praying well, shaitan doesn't come to you and say, stop praying. He knows you're going to knock him back. Get lost. You know what shaitan comes to you? Tells you, pray more. Tells you, pray more, pray more. No, pray more, pray more. And he puts this pressure on you to pray more until you start hating the prayers. You start finding things are turning on you. So you'll be under this tremendous and this intense pressure that you'll give up at the end of the day. So it's not always that the shaitan is up front in your face telling you, oh, stop this. Sometimes he tells you, do more. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was traveling from Medina to Mecca, on the conquest of Mecca, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was traveling during the days of Ramadan, so they were fasting. Halfway through the day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum being exhausted. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam broke his fast and he commanded everyone to break their fast. There was a group of youngsters that refused to break their fast. They thought, you know what, this is the opportunity for us to be better than everyone else and not break our fast and for us to get closer to Allah. They thought the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be happy from them. When the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard of them, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they are the sinners and the disobedient ones. See how the shaitan used them? See how the shaitan said, don't break your fast. This is going to please Allah. But at the end, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is displeasing Allah. So when Adam alayhi salam disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam did disobey Allah azza wa jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوُمُ Didn't I tell you not to get near that tree? And didn't I tell you that this shaitan, this being shaitan, is your enemy? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran al-Kareem that we taught Adam, فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه. الله سبحانه وتعالى inspired آدم عليه السلام with some دعاء seeking Allah سبحانه وتعالى's forgiveness. What was the دعاء that Ibrahim was inspired by Allah سبحانه وتعالى to say? ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا والله had oppressed our souls. وإن لم تغفر لنا, if you're not going to forgive us, وترحمنا, and have mercy upon us, لنكونن من الخاسرين, we'll be from amongst the losers. That was a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired and taught Adam alayhi salam to say after Adam alayhi salam disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the scholars say this is the dua of those who want to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا, I acknowledge that I committed a sin. وإن لم تغفر لي وترحمني, if you're not going to forgive me and have mercy upon me, I'll be from amongst the losers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended Adam alayhi salam and Hawa to earth after they were what? After they were in the Jannah. And who told you about the Jannah? فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. In the Jannah there's no eyes had ever seen, no eyes had ever heard of, and not even a mind could even think of. You know, sit down right now, let us all just think how beautiful the Jannah is. The Jannah is even more beautiful. Just go beyond your imagination. The Jannah is better. Imagine how beautiful the gardens are. The Jannah is better. Better than what you just imagined. Imagine how beautiful the palaces are in the Jannah. The Jannah is even better. It's beyond your imagination. Beyond your imagination. So Adam alayhi salam and Hawa were descended to earth. After what? After they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also descend with them? Iblis. You're not going to come down alone. The test is up there and the test is here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended to earth. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa with Iblis. Khalas, this is the challenge to the Day of Judgment. Where was Adam alayhi salam descended? Adam alayhi salam was descended, as according to the narrations, in India. And Hawa was descended in Jeddah. You know Jeddah when you go to Hajj? It's about 80 kilometers from Mecca. What's Jeddah in Arabic? Grandmother. The word Jeddah means grandmother. And the reason it's called Jeddah, because our grandmother Hawa was descended there. So one of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed upon Adam and Hawa, not by them to be descended in one place, one on the other side of the world, and the other one is in Jeddah. And you could imagine, they had no one. It's not like they descended to earth, and there were monkeys trying to become human beings. Wallahi, there were those rock men, and the H-stone people. No, no, no. And you know that theory that we get taught at school, that human beings, mankind started as so ignorant, didn't even know how to speak, it was dumb, and then over the course of time, because he struggled and you know, we start to put the time and effort, so slowly start to learn how to utter, and slowly started to learn how to speak, and slowly started to learn how to write, and slowly start. No. Put this all aside. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa came down, they were covered, they knew how to speak, they knew how to communicate, and not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even taught Adam most of the primitive trades. Most of, if not all, the primitive trades. Like what? Turning on a fire, building huts, using wood, all the other things, all the essentials that you think, wallahi, human beings from the stone age, they don't know anything, and you know, they're just a bunch of dumb people, and you know, the signs and this and that. No, that's rejected. Adam alayhi salam was an understanding person. He knew how to speak, Hawa knew how to speak, both of them communicated with one another, and Adam was also embedded in him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the understanding of trades, the understanding of making things, the understanding of the necessities of life. So he was educated, not maybe to the extent of what we have these days. Not like any, okay, did Adam alayhi salam know about computers and iPhones? No, but the primitive things, essentials. Adam alayhi salam knew of the essentials. So Adam alayhi salam was descended in India, and Hawa was descended in Jeddah. And they were looking for each other. You could imagine, you know, a lonely man and a lonely woman. A lonely man and a lonely woman. So that's not the best life that you want. And at the end of the day, we're insan. Insan because this uns means there's that social aspect of things in life. So Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, they were looking for each other, looking for each other, looking for each other, looking for each other until they found each other. Where did they find each other? At Arafah. Arafah, next to Mecca. They found each other at Arafah. That's why it's called Arafah. What's the literal meaning of Arafah? Knowing each other, acknowledging each other, or finding each other. That's why Arafah is called Arafah, because they found each other there. So Adam alayhi salam found Hawa at Arafah. So obviously he did the long hike from India to Arafah. She only did 80 kilometers. So you could imagine from India, there's about at least 2,000, more, 3,000-4,000 kilometers. And from Jeddah to Mecca, there's only 80 kilometers. From Jeddah to Arafah, there's 80 to 90 kilometers. But nevertheless, at the end, Adam and Hawa encountered and met each other at Arafah. That's why the area Arafah is called Arafah, because it means a place where people know and find each other. So now a new life, a new phase in Adam and Hawa's life starts. Both of them right now on earth, after they were living in the Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Not 5-star, not 7-star, beyond the 1,000 stars. From having that luxury life, now coming to earth. You have to work. You have to do the hard yards. You have to serve yourself. You have to pick up. You have to drop off. You have to do this. You have to do that. None of this is in the Jannah. In the Jannah, you just think of something. Bang, it's there. Bang, it's there. On earth, you work so hard for it and you'll be lucky to get 10% of it sometimes. So you could imagine from a very luxurious life in the paradise, to a tough, hard life on earth. So Adam alayhi salam and Hawa encountered each other at Arafah. Did they live at Arafah? Allah alam where they lived. There's different narrations. Some narrations even say that Adam alayhi salam is buried in India. Wallahu alam. These are all just narrations. Nothing that's concrete 100%. Nothing that's concrete 100%. Even some narrations say that Adam alayhi salam and the angels were the first people to establish the Kaaba. And that's a weak narration, because the stronger narration is that Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one that established the Kaaba. So you could imagine that Adam alayhi salam and Hawa started a new life with an enemy. And the enemy is the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam all the necessities, all the trades. So it's not like he didn't know anything. He knew how to lit on a fire. He knew how to build a house. He knew how to do this. And knew how to do that. And knew how to cook. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him all that. He knew how to speak. And most of the scholars said that the language that Adam alayhi salam spoke with was Arabic. That's an opinion of some of the scholars. That the language that Adam alayhi salam used to communicate with Hawa was the Arabic language. Okay, Arabic language, the classical one, not the liberal one, Kifak, Shlonak, and all that. We're talking about the classical Arabic, the traditional Arabic language. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. So the progeny of mankind, the beginning of mankind starts from Adam and Hawa. Now, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam as a male and Hawa as a female, that's where all the descendants and the offsprings of Adam from Adam alayhi salam started. Hawa will fall pregnant. Every time she falls pregnant, she falls pregnant with twins. That's it. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed on her. Every single time she falls pregnant with twins. She gave birth, in some narrations, 20 times. Every birth, twins. Every twins, boy and a girl. So imagine. 20 births, every birth, every pregnancy, twins. Every twins, boy and girl. We, as the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, twins or not twins? Are you allowed to get married to your sister? You're not allowed to get married to your sister from the same pregnancy or not from the same pregnancy. According to Sharia Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not allowed. See, all the prophets and messengers came with one religion. The religion they all came with is what? We mentioned that before. Islam, there's only one deen. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. The only deen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغْ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever wants to take any other religion as a religion beside Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept from him. So Adam alayhi salam was a Muslim, and all the prophets and messengers after Adam alayhi salam, they all called to Islam, but they differed. Differed in what? In the legislations, in the halal, in the haram, in the way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things were allowed to us, not allowed to them. Things was allowed to them, not allowed to us. And one of the things that's not allowed to us, we as the Messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not allowed to get married to our sisters, even though they come from different pregnancy. So let's say there's 10 years or 20 years between you and your sister. If it's the same mom or the same father or the same mother and father, you are not allowed to get married to them, yes? According to the Sharia of Adam, they were allowed to get married to each other as long as they come from different pregnancy. So brothers and sisters, we're getting married to one another from different tummies, from different pregnancies. So every pregnancy was a male and a female. A male and a female from the same pregnancy are not allowed to get married to each other. A male from one pregnancy is allowed to get married to a female from different pregnancy. And a female from one pregnancy is allowed to get married to a male from different pregnancy. So you could call them, they are brothers, yes. They are sisters, but different pregnancies. That's the Sharia of Adam alayhi salam. And you could understand why. Because they were the only human beings. So Hawa alayhi salam fell pregnant and gave birth 20 times. In some narrations even say more than that. And brothers and sisters from different pregnancies were getting married to each other. And that's where the offsprings of Adam alayhi salam started. That's where they all started. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. And Adam alayhi salam, remember what we spoke about, this difference between a messenger, Rasul, and a prophet, Nabi? Adam alayhi salam, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear, كَانَ نَبِيًّا مُرْسَلًا. Adam alayhi salam was a prophet and a messenger. Which means he received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also received the Sharia. Remember what we spoke about the difference between a prophet and a messenger? We said a messenger is someone that's higher than a prophet. So now you could imagine how life started. And Adam alayhi salam lived with his wife Hawa, and then they started children, and then they had their grandchildren. Great, great children, that some narrations say that Adam alayhi salam saw over thousands of his grandchildren. Thousands. I've read the narration. I found that a bit too much. But Allah alam, 400,000. Obviously, they didn't live for 50, 60 years. Adam alayhi salam lived for 960 years. So you could imagine 960 years. On average, every 40 to 50 years, there's a new generation. Every 40 to 50 years, there's a new generation. So if Adam alayhi salam lived for 960 years, we're talking about 20 generations, or just under 20 generations, which means maybe Adam experienced 20 great-children, great-grandchildren. 20 great-grandchildren. Imagine that. But subhanAllah, like I know to you it's very hard, like I mean, people are lucky to even see the children of their grandchildren. Yes, but back then people are lucky to live for 60, 70 years, 100 years. If it's over 100 years, they put them in a world Guinness record, whatever they call it. Okay, but now, alhamdulillah, this is our time. This is the day and age. But during the time of Adam alayhi salam, they used to age. They used to live up to 1,000 years, 1,200 years, 600, 700 years. Maybe he's a young fella, 600, 700 years. Still young, miskin. He's probably trying to set his life, you know. He's trying to organize himself. It's like when you look at someone that's 20, 30 years old, that's why they used to probably look at someone who's 300, 400 years old. Different times. And subhanAllah, Adam and Hawa and their children lived on earth. Narrations say that Adam alayhi salam lived in the mountains. So they used to carve out of the mountains, make houses, and they used to live in the mountains. And then the famous story comes where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem and mention Naba ibnay Adam bilhaq, the children of Adam, when Qabil and Habil. Qabil was born from one pregnancy with his sister. Habil was born from a different pregnancy with his sister. The sister of Qabil, she was pretty from the same pregnancy. The sister of Habil, she wasn't pretty.
Who's entitled to get married to the sister of Qabil? Habil, because he comes from a different pregnancy. So Qabil was left with her, with Habil's sister, and she wasn't the most beautiful girl. So Qabil wanted to get married to his own sister from the same pregnancy, which is what? It's haram, it's illegal, it's a sin, he can't. But he didn't like it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story in the Quran al-Kareem. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَى أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. And remember the story of the children of Adam. When Qabil wanted to get married to his sister from the same pregnancy, because he didn't like the looks of the sister of Habil, but that's not allowed in the Sharia of Adam alayhi salam. So what did they do? From time to time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to order the children of Adam alayhi salam to pay their zakat, to sacrifice, like how we have to pay 2.5%. They had a different way. And the way they used to pay their zakat is that you have to choose of the best of commodities or animals or crops or plants that you have, and you have to put it in the middle of the desert, and there's a fire that will come and take it. That's a sign of acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what you'll do, you choose of the best of your crops, you choose the best of your herd, the best of your cattle, you put it in the middle of the desert. As a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting your zakat, as a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting your sacrifice, is that there's a fire that will come from the heavens and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it. So what happened, Qabil, he had a farm. And Habil also had a farm. And subhanAllah, this is the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to sacrifice the best of their sacrifice. So Habil, he brought the best of crops and plants and he put it in the middle of the desert. And Qabil brought the worst of products, and some narrations say the worst of herds, and he put it in the middle of the desert. The following day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the sacrifice of Habil, and Allah did not accept the sacrifice of Qabil. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. So that made Qabil a lot more angry from his brother Habil, that his brother Qabil said to him, لَا أَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Not only that you've taken my sister away from me that I wanted to get married to, but right now I'm becoming so envious of you that Allah had accepted your sacrifice and didn't accept my sacrifice, I'm going to get rid of you. That was the first envy to be committed on the face of this earth between brothers. Subhanallah, envy. And that's why the scholars say the first sin to be committed on earth is envy. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, he says, envy destroys the good deeds the way a fire destroys all wood and timber. It eats your good deeds the way fire eats the timber. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. So what did Habil, who was more upright and righteous than Qabil, he said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. At the end of the day, I sacrificed for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and I gave the best that I had, so Allah accepted from me. And it came out of sincerity. He didn't sacrifice the best sacrifice. So Allah didn't accept from you. لَإِن بَسَطَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لَأَقْتُلَكَ. And then Habil told him, if you want to come and kill me, I'm not going to do the same to you. Subhanallah. Habil was upright. He was righteous. Qabil, he was mischief. Qabil was evil. Qabil was bad. He had bad intent. He didn't have the good intentions, he didn't respect anyone. And even though that he had threatened his brother that he's going to kill him, his brother Habil told him, even if you try and kill me, I'm not going to kill you. And subhanAllah, that's the character of a mu'min. We don't repel, we don't pay evilness with the evilness. If someone does bad to us, yes, we're not going to be pushed around. But at the same time, it's not always that someone does something wrong to us, we do something wrong to them. مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِي إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Habil. إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوَى بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. If that's the case, you cop the sins, you earn the sins, and let you be from the people of the hellfire. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So Qabil plotted and planned to kill his own brother Habil. Mankind back then never experienced any sin. And they've never experienced any murder. They've never experienced any harm. We're talking about brothers and sisters. And not only brothers and sisters to who? To a prophet and a messenger from the best of people on the face of this earth. But subhanAllah, shaitan came in, envy came in. And the personal vendetta is a lot worse than what the shaitan plans and plots. It's a personal vendetta that Qabil is so angry and envious from his own brother Habil. So he wanted to kill him. Because he wanted to keep his sister to himself. He didn't want Habib to get married to her, even though he's not allowed to. And at the same time, Allah accepted Habib's sacrifice. He did not accept his sacrifice, so he became so envious of his brother, he wanted to kill him. So what did he do? While his brother Habib is asleep, he grabbed a big, massive rock and crushed the head of his brother. SubhanAllah, imagine, that's the first sin to be ever committed on the face of this earth. He grabbed a big massive rock while his brother Habil is asleep and he crushed his head and he killed him. First blood to be shed on the face of this earth. First blood to spill on the face of this earth by a son of a prophet over a son of another son of a prophet. SubhanAllah. That was the first sin. Where does it stem from? Envy, subhanAllah. Envy. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns of envy. And he says, Al-Haliqa, the one that destroys everything, doesn't leave anything. So right now, Qabil commits the first sin on the face of this earth, which is to kill his own blood brother Habil in the presence of his father. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فطوعت له نفسه قتل أخيه فقتله. He killed him. فأصبح من الخاسرين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so he became from amongst the unsuccessful and losers. From the unsuccessful people and losers. But now, this is the first time that mankind had ever experienced death. And Qabil had felt the guilt and the remorse. He carried the corpse and the body of his dead brother and he doesn't even know what to do with it. They've never experienced death before. They don't even know what to do with this corpse. They don't even know what to do with this dead body. So he carried his own brother Habil and he was walking around on the face of this earth and he doesn't even know what to do. What do I do with this dead body? And he was remorseful, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. He became so remorseful. What did I do? I killed my own brother. And not only I killed him, I don't even know what to do with him. I don't even know what to do with his body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a bird, a crow. يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوَتْ أَخِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did something amazing. While Qabil is carrying the dead body of his brother Habil, feeling so regretful and remorseful over the killing and the murder that he had just committed and he killed his own brother Habil, he didn't know what to do with that dead body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made two crows right in front of him. Two crows came and fought one another. One crow killed the other one. So the killer dug up a hole and buried the dead crow and then covered him. And who's watching? Qabil. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوَاتَ أَخِيهِ. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in that verse how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that display of those two crows fighting each other, and then one of them kills the other one, and the one that killed buries the one that's dead and then covers him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُرِيَهُ, so we could teach Qabil how to bury his dead brother. قَالَ يَا وَيْلَتَا. He's so remorseful over the killing of his brother. It's a sin. He just killed someone. He just ended the life of someone. And that someone is his own brother. From the same mother and father, but different pregnancy. And also a son of a prophet. قال يا ويلتا أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب فأواري سوءة أخي. I don't even know how to bury my brother until I saw this crow killing the other crow and burying it. فأصبح من النادمين. Allah subhanahu says he became from amongst the biggest remorseful ones. He became very remorseful. So Qabil dug up a hole and buried his brother Habil. That was the first body. That was the first human being body to be buried on the face of this earth. And what did Qabil do? He was one of the elderly sons of Adam. What do you think he did? He ran away from his dad. He couldn't bear to see his father. He's so shameful of himself to face his dad, a prophet, a messenger, that he killed his own son over what? Over jealousy, envy. So he ran away. So Adam alayhi salam and the rest of the offsprings of Adam alayhi salam stayed living in the mountains. Qabil moved towards the plains. He moved towards the plains. And that's why there are narrations that say that Adam alayhi salam and the offsprings of Adam alayhi salam and the children of Adam alayhi salam who decided to live in the mountains, they were the righteous ones. Corruption started from Qabil and the children of Qabil in the plains. Corruption started from Qabil and the children of Qabil in the plains, in the field. But Adam alayhi salam, the rest of the children and the offsprings of Adam alayhi salam stayed in the mountains. They were considered to be the righteous ones, the upright ones. Qabil and his children, they were considered to be the evil ones. They were considered to be the non-righteous ones. And subhanAllah, that was the first sin to ever be committed on the face of this earth. Don't look at the killing, but look why. The reason why he killed his brother, because of envy, because of jealousy. And Adam alayhi salam became so angry from his son Qabil. But Qabil ran away. He couldn't hack it. He couldn't face his father. How was he going to face his father? How was he going to explain himself? I killed your son, my brother, because I was jealous? Okay, I understand that sometimes brothers amongst each other have a scuffle amongst each other. They push each other, they pick on each other, they bully each other. But to go and kill him? That's one of the worst crimes in Islam. Subhanallah. And the Prophet Muhammad SAW even mentions that. And he even warns, don't you ever become like the son of Adam, causing the first sin of killing someone. And there's other ahadith of that. Until that moment came where Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, they were living on the face of this earth. And the offsprings and the children of Adam became divided. Qabil and his children, and they were considered to be the non-righteous ones, the evil ones. Adam alayhi salam and the rest of his children, and the children of his children, and the great children of his children, and the great, 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 great children of his children, and Allah alam how many great children they had, they were living in the mountains. And Adam alayhi salam initially had 1,000 knees. But remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rubbed and wiped his back, and the descendants and the offsprings of Adam alayhi salam appeared in front of him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a light to glow from the foreheads of the prophets and messengers, but there was one forehead that captivated the attention of Adam alayhi salam. That Adam asked Allah, who's this person? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Dawood. So Adam alayhi salam asked, and he said, Ya Allah, how long does he live for? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, 60 years. So Adam said, Ya Allah, how long do I live for? So Allah said, 1,000 years. So Adam said, Ya Allah, give him 40 years of my life. So Adam alayhi salam sacrificed 40 years of his life for one of his sons, or one of his grandsons, one of his offsprings and descendants, Dawood alayhi salam, for him to live 100 years after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed on him 60 years. When Adam alayhi salam was 960 years old, he became ill and old, and was on his deathbed. So his children were surrounding him. So Adam alayhi salam, while surrounded by his children, he said, I long for, I desire the fruits of the Jannah. Ah, if I told you about the Jannah, how beautiful the Jannah is. Look what we're stuck in now. I desire the fruits of the Jannah. So he was telling his kids, he was telling his children, I desire the fruits of the Jannah. Is there any possibility one of you can go and find me a fruit from the Jannah? Now the fruits of the Jannah are similar to the fruits of the or this dunya. The fruits of the Jannah look the same as the fruits of this dunya, but they taste different. Different quality, of course. The quality here is one star, the quality there is probably a million stars. So Adam alayhi salam, while he was on his deathbed, he told his children that were surrounding him, checking up on their father, he told them, I desire the fruits of the Jannah. They've never seen the fruits of the Jannah. So their mother Hawa described to them the fruits of the Jannah. So they went out looking for the fruits of the Jannah. When they went out looking for the fruits of the Jannah, they encountered different people they've never seen before. They've encountered different people they've never seen before. They were angels. Came in a disguise of human beings. Carrying with them the shovels and the axes. To take the soul of Adam alayhi salam and to teach the children of Adam how to bury their father. So when Hawa saw human beings that she's never seen before, but they're not human beings, but lookalikes of human beings, she recognized them. She recognized them. So she pushed them out. She knew they were angels. She pushed them out. So Adam said, you took me away from the Jannah. Don't take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You took me away from the Jannah. Don't make another mistake. So when the angel of death came to take the soul of Adam, he was 960 years old. The angel of death came to take the soul of Adam, and one of the things about all the prophets and messengers, I want you to keep this in your mind. When the angel of death wants to come take your soul, he's not going to excuse himself. He's not going to knock on your door and say, they allow me. He's not going to seek permission from you. He's going to take it whether you like it or not. When it comes to prophets and messengers, he seeks their permission. There are prophets and messengers. He doesn't just come and take their soul like that. He knocks on the door and he says, they allow me to take your soul. That's one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed upon the prophets and messengers. They must be, and their consent must be given before the angel of death takes their soul. So when the angel of death came to take the soul of Adam alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam said, but I'm still 960 years, I've still got 40 years to go. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordain on me 1,000 years? So Allah azza wa ta'ala told him, Adam, did you forget? You gave 40 years to Dawood. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Adam had forgotten, and ever since then, the children of Adam have been forgetting. Adam had forgotten. Did you forget you had already given 40 years to Dawood? You're the one that said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even tell you giving 40 years. He's the one that said, ya Allah, how long do I live for? Allah told you for 1,000 years. So you said, ya Allah, give him. And how long does he live for? 60 years. Ya Allah, give him 40 years of my life. Complete his life. 100 years and reduce of my life 40 years. When he was 960 years, he had forgotten. They had already sacrificed 40 years of his life to Dawood alayhi salam. So when the angel of death came to take his soul, he said, isn't it too early? I still got 40 years to go. So Allah reminded him, did you forget the 40 years that we had given to Dawood? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, amazing. Adam had forgotten, and ever since then, the children of Adam had been forgetting. That's why we forget and we neglect. Our father and grandfather, Adam alayhi salam, had even forgotten how long he's going to be living for. So the angel of death took the soul of Adam alayhi salam when he was 960 years old. Pretty young, isn't he? 960 years old. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent those angels with shovels and axes and whatever tools. And you know, that also demonstrates what? It's not like these people, like, you know, they're in the stone ages, they don't even know anything. We're talking about shovels. The hadith says shovels and axes. Tools that they used to use to dig up, to excavate. So Adam alayhi salam passed away. And the soul of Adam alayhi salam was taken. And Adam alayhi salam was buried. And the ones who buried Adam alayhi salam were the angels. Teaching the children of Adam alayhi salam how to bury someone when someone passes away. And how did they bury Adam alayhi salam? They dug up a hole with another small hole at the end of the deep hole, in which we call it lahad, to put someone in there and protect him. They taught him exactly. That's how you bury someone. That's how you bury someone. That's how you put someone in the grave. So they learned. And ever since then, the children of Adam have been following the same process. Burying someone. Digging up a hole and burying someone. After Adam, alayhi salam, by 1 year, Hawa passed away. She followed him straight away. Some narrations even say days. But these are the narrations that we don't have 100% concrete answer, but we know that she followed him straight away, 1 year. When you compare 960 years to 1 year, 1 year is like a day for us. She passed away right after Adam, alayhi salam. One of the children of Adam, alayhi salam, his name is Shaith. Shaith. Shaith is one of the young children of Adam, alayhi salam, and he was the successor of Adam, alayhi salam. He became the next prophet and messenger. Now in the Quran al-Kareem, when you open the Quran al-Kareem, you're not going to find not even one verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions the name Shaith. Who mentioned Shaith? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Shaith. He continued with the legacy of his father, Adam alayhi salam, and he continued to be the next prophet and messenger after Adam alayhi salam. So he was the leader after the death of his father, Adam alayhi salam, and he continued with the same path of his father, Adam alayhi salam, Prophet Shaith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about Prophet Shaith, and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed 104 scriptures. 104 scriptures. The hadith says, Allah had revealed upon the prophets and messengers 104 scriptures. From amongst the scriptures, the Quran, the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil. These are from amongst the 104 scriptures. 50 out of the 104 were given to Shaykh. Just to Shaykh. As he is one of the first human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him more knowledge to establish civilization on earth. And Shaith was the direct son of Adam alayhi salam. And as you could imagine, Adam alayhi salam passed away. And he was buried by the angels. And then later on, Hawa alayhi salam, she passed away a few months, 1 year after Adam alayhi salam. And subhanAllah, like it's amazing to see when you hear the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what the angels were carrying. They were carrying the shovels, they were carrying the axes, they were even carrying the hanut. You know, when someone passes away, you put that perfume on him. Subhanallah, they were even carrying that. They were carrying everything else that you need these days, they were carrying it. That also implies what? It's not like these people were so primitive, they had nothing. They were civilized, they had something at least. It's not like, you know, when you talk about, you watch those cartoons, you're talking about, you know, no clothes, naked, they've got no idea, they don't even know how to communicate with each other. No, 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 that's not right. That's not what we believe in. And then after Adam alayhi salam, Shaith alayhi salam is the one that looked and took over the leadership of his dad, and he established. Shaith was a very righteous prophet and messenger. All the prophets and messengers are righteous and upright. But Shaith, he was known for his worship. And he continued the legacy of his father. But the children of Adam were divided. You had the wicked ones, they were Qabil and the children of Qabil, and then you had the righteous ones, Habil and the other children of Adam alayhi salam, living in the mountains. But corruption started to become widespread amongst the children of Qabil. They've never upstarted Islam. They still worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. They still believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the haram started to spread. Haram started to spread. Killing, lying, deceiving, swearing a false oath, and all the other haram started to spread amongst the children of Qabil, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another prophet that came after Adam alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of him in the Quran al-Kareem, Idris. Inshallah, the story of Idris is a story that we're mentioning to you inshallah next week. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. Subhanaka Allah, hamdaka, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Think, how long have we got for Salatul Isha? I think we've got 15 minutes.